Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Welcome back, ladies and Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's just one of those days. I was reading anyway. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And we're really only heading into the first segment of the program. Today is Tuesday, January 11th, 2022. I got that right, Dave.
Hey, the day is young.
Yes, it is. Even at 4 o'clock Eastern time, it's still young.
Plenty of time for more mishaps.
Nah. Actually, when you do radio, you're never supposed to acknowledge the mishaps. You just keep on going like that was normal.
Absolutely.
But I don't do that. Everybody knows. So anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's frigid, bone chilling, actually.
Yes.
In southeastern PA. It looks like it's around the same where you are, too.
Yes, it's been chilly today. We didn't get out of the 20s.
No, I think we barely reached that mark. Hey, by the way, Melody.
Yeah, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting, just trying to pass some time until you bring it up.
Happy National Milk Day.
Oh, yummy.
Did you have a glass of milk with your breakfast today?
No, I did not.
Well, they say, and I don't know who they is, but they say that the first bottles of milk were delivered to homes on this day way back in 1878. Back in the day when you weren't afraid to have those home deliveries stolen right off your front porch by one of your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. I remember that we used to get milk delivered to our house, and it was in 1878.
No.
Do you remember that? Did they
do
it? Yeah. There was little metal boxes.
Wangerts.
That you would put your Wangerts?
Wangerts Daily, Dairy.
Yeah. Yeah. My uncle was a Wangert. But anyway. You open those little metal containers and you put your empty glass bottles in there and they'd pick it up and deliver.
So. Yeah, I loved drinking the freshly pasteurized cow's milk right out of that glass. That was tasty.
I like that milk right out of the cow. There isn't anything better than when you have that milk and it's cold. Get it out of the cow, put it in the refrigerator, and drink. With a piece of chocolate cake. There isn't anything better. I can't think of anything much better than that. And I can only have the fresh cow's milk. I can only have, like, I can't have it, leave it overnight in the refrigerator and have it the next day. It has to be fresh. That's the only way I can drink it. But
Yeah, that's the beauty of almond milk these days. Mm-hmm. Lasts longer. Perhaps not as tasty. But
it's not milk. Not cow milk. Moo. Anyway, today, let's go ahead and take a peek at gold. We had a nice day in gold today, finally. And so we're looking at gold today. Right now, the New York spot price after market up $21 at $1,823. Silver is up 32 cents at $22.87. Platinum was up 34, the winner of the day, up almost 3.75%, 982. Palladium was up 10 at 2012. So a nice day in the metals. The USDX today was down, of course, 0.33 at 95.63. Crude oil took a whopping $3 to the upside, 3.15, 81.38. I'm not sure you have a wallop that goes up, but in this case you did. Do wallops go up, Dave?
Sure, they can if they're hit from the bottom.
No, okay. The Dow Jones today was up 183 points at 36,252. S&P was up 42 at 4,713. The NASDAQ was up 210 at 15,153. Asia was down across the board. Europe was positive. And the 10-year yield today, 1.74%, 1.74% down 0.039. And I guess we're going to start off with talking about the Fed, which I guess moved the markets today. And I guess they're paying a little bit of attention to inflation and the toll that it's taking on families out there. And Jerome Powell, a.k.a. Captain Obvious, our new pet name, who acknowledged that harsh reality in remarks delivered in the Senate confirmation hearing today, we know that high inflation exacts a toll, particularly for those less able to meet the higher cost of essentials like food, housing, transportation. Senate Banking Committee held a hearing on Powell's nomination to a second four-year term today. He was reappointed in November. And, of course, we've seen with their numbers, again, we report on this every single day, consumer prices jumped 7.1% over the past 12 months. And these reports are coming out tomorrow. So everyone is expecting 7.1% up from November 6.8%. Think it'll be higher, Dave?
Will he be what?
Will that number be higher than 7.1%?
Well, it already is, but...
Well, we know that, yeah. But I mean it for their numbers.
I think that there's a possibility that it will be just slightly lower. I think there are a couple of more recent increases that won't be baked in to the new number. So I think, well, who knows, but it'll be right around there.
Yeah. And again, folks, we know that number's higher. We're just talking about government's numbers, the government. And what's next, Dave? What would you like to add to that? Anything?
Well, just, you know, that the positioning is a big about face from earlier this fall when the Fed was split over, well, hiking short-term interest rates. They say at least three times, maybe even four or five now, I heard today. I honestly think, Melody, we're going to be lucky if we see more than one. There might be something symbolic, not as early as March as they're saying, a few months later. I think they're going to just wait and see. I think there's a lot more gyration to come after they start to taper in a few months. And I just think there's going to be too much, well, uncertainty on the Open Market Committee to, you know, allow them, the, you know, more certainty of, you know, a handful of hikes after, you know, some time, nothing but 0 to 0.25% interest rate. I just don't see that happening. But, you know, I hear the pundits, mainstream media today again talking, all of them talking about unemployment now back under 4%, heading toward 3.5% where it was before the pandemic began. And it's such a joke that they still quote this almost irrelevant U3 unemployment rate of the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. They ought to be talking about the U6, if anything. And, you know, that again assumes government methodologies in place today. If you have any faith in their old methodologies, the ones used back in the 80s and 90s, you got guys like John Williams at shadowstats.com seeing unemployment a whole lot higher. So same goes with inflation. When you use the newer methodologies, that we know were implemented to make inflation look more sanguine, more acceptable to the politicians, and allowed Congress and the executive branch with these automatic increases like the Social Security just to spend less, and honestly not reflecting true price increases or wage increases or what have you.
Well, you know, with all this talk about increasing rates and so forth, I mean, yes, we know inflation is higher, but this isn't, to me, I think they're, yes, inflation is high. Yes, we understand. Don't you think that they're going at this in a way that normally they would not? They're just reacting. They're overreacting to some degree. And I'm thinking if they're overreacting, then what really are, I mean, how dire is it?
Pretty dire.
Yes.
There are a number of things going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even sure you can equate it equate it with earlier instances of how they reacted before, during, and after, say, the Great Recession. This is a different bear. I mean, the one thing that I keep I've been reading more about recently, the last couple of weeks, Wall Street on Parade, Russ and Pam Martin's been following this very closely, perhaps more closely than anyone in the country, certainly more than any media outlet, who essentially seem to have put a just a blackout on this news. There are literally trillions of dollars that have been loaned by the two big, or loaned to the two big to fail banks since actually before the pandemic began, through the Fed's overnight repurchase agreement program.
We've been talking about that forever, Dave.
And no one is talking about that. I mean, that suggests, what did they use that money for? That suggests a huge credit problem in the country, probably as bad as, if not worse than, what we saw at the height of the Great Recession. It's just the lack of disclosure intensifies my fear.
If I remember correctly, Dave, when they started doing this in 2019, it was September of 2019, they started messing around in the repo market. It was because the rates were rising. Because there wasn't the you know, nobody wanted to take the risk. And yeah. that overnight repo was hovering around 10%.
Yep. Exactly.
So the Fed went in there and they started, you know, pumping in. At first it was just going to be a couple billion dollars. And it was only going to be for a couple weeks, kind of like transitory. It was going to be for a couple weeks. And the next thing you know, it was a couple months and inched up a little more, a couple more months. And, you know, and it just kept going into the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars. You're right. No one's talking about it other than the people you read and us.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still trillions of dollars that are being put into that repo market overnight. So what's going to happen when the rates do start to rise?
Well, markets are going to,
yeah.
I hesitate to use the word crash, but they're certainly going to correct.
No.
Probably pretty quickly. And I think the only question is, and you may differ, in your opinion on this is, you know, will a crash follow? Some people I've read are saying, well, it's not if, it's when. So be prepared, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, you just can't continue to do what they're doing and expect a good outcome, because there is no good outcome, because they're not fixing anything. Nothing has been fixed. Nothing. They just continue to make it worse. It is the Band-Aid. And sure, we've seen 10%. You know, they look at a correction is, what, 10% or 20% or something like that, Dave? Well, no, 10, you know yeah. what? It's going to be much more then. Is it going to go back to 6,000 like before? No, but it'll probably go to 10. I see absolutely no reason why it wouldn't go to 10, maybe 15. But that's, I remember the Nikkei did that. Remember the Nikkei? The Nikkei was trading at about, what, 35, 36,000. Kind of like where we are today. And they crashed. They never made it back. They never made it back.
Yeah.
And they never will.
30 years later.
Yeah. Longer 30 actually. Years later. They're close. They're 20. They're 20. Nikkei's 28. So they're almost close 30 years later. Are you going to be, most of the people who have money in the stock market were retired. So you're going to be around 30 years from now? I hope so. But knock on wood. I mean, I'm only 39, so I will be. So, yeah, no. And you know what, Dave? If there wasn't so much other things going on, I'd say, yeah, they might be able to pull out another hat or another rabbit out of their hat. But I really don't know what it is this time. Because how much more money can you put into it?
Well, especially if interest rates are going to be rising now, like they say they will. Now, again, you know, we're not talking about necessarily in the short run 14% interest like in the late 70s, but you know, it's been roughly 0% negative when you add inflation in. But when the rate that banks lend to each other is the top. Top of the range is a quarter of a percent. I mean, let's just say zero. And they're talking about maybe eight increases over the next 2.5 plus years. You know, that's taking it to 2.25 percent. And we know it'll be higher than that. Because of other factors going on. That may be the official rate, but you know what really matters, I think, is the how they trade in the secondary market, and they'll be higher, and that just adds. Well, we don't know how much now in this economy. It's going to add hundreds of billions of new expenses to balance sheets of households and business.
And the thing of it is, Dave, going up to those low percentage will be far more devastating than going to 14 or 15%. Far more devastating than they ever thought that percent would be. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Gold and silver prices are going to sneak. They're going to quietly sneak up. Well, they weren't quiet today, but before you know it, you're going to start saying, well, I wished I would have purchased when it was a little bit lower, $50 ago or $100 ago or $300 ago, $400 ago. And oftentimes I hear the phrase, it's too expensive for me now. So you hold on to those worthless paper dollars and then see how expensive gold gets. You know, so you can't think that way, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the fundamentals. Look at the long term. And what are you going to do with those paper dollars? So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, it's a lot of things are going on. The Kremlin said today that security talks with the U.S. over Ukraine have given little reason for optimism. And it also added that Russia would wait for the outcome of other meetings this week before deciding whether it's worth to continue the negotiations. The leader of the U.S. delegation at yesterday's talks briefed allies in Brussels about the session and stressed the security crisis was caused by Russia and its troop buildup near Ukraine. At the Geneva talks, Moscow insisted on guarantees to halt NATO's eastward expansion and even roll back the military alliance's deployments in Eastern Europe, while Washington firmly rejected the demands. So it sounds like they're not going to get anywhere, Dave.
Well, there's an opening, right? It's certainly narrow, Melody, and Secretary of State Tony Antony Blinken talking very firmly about Russia. I haven't seen him posture this way since he was appointed. So they're really trying to send a signal to Putin. And again, as agitating as Putin may want to be, he certainly wants to shake up Eastern Europe, and he, I don't know if he actually thinks that NATO is going to open its membership to Ukraine and other former Soviet republics, or if there's something else going on. There's a whole bunch of other news today. We may talk about it here in a minute, some of them in a minute. That makes that's being driven by Putin or Russia in general. That makes me wonder if are those news items a diversion, attempted diversion to take attention away from their military buildup near Ukraine, which is kind of more worrisome because. It could be now that he's just waiting for an accident. And knowing how he's acted in the past, Putin, I wouldn't doubt if, they've got some Russian separatists operating undercover inside Ukraine that are trying to drum up some trouble that, that could precipitate. It could be exactly
like
what,
the U.S.
Yeah, right. I know.
CIA.
So it's Israel. There's significant gamesmanship going on right now, and I wish I knew more about it to make a more informed decision or to offer a more informed perspective for our listeners. But it certainly is troublesome. Russia has its own major economic problems, if nothing else. And who knows, it just could be to pump up Putin's standing among his citizenry.
Well, he's out of office this week, this month, this year, right?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, so is Xi Jinping, hypothetically, until the National Party
anywhere.
Congress.
He's not going anywhere.
Essentially, eliminates the two-term limit. He'll be elected to a third term and could be president for the next generation for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he will be, because he's young, younger than Putin anyway, I believe.
But,
he's not going anywhere. But this is what I find interesting about North Korea. They fired something that appeared to be a ballistic missile into the Eastern Sea today. It's actually the second launch in a week. And this comes from Kim Jong-un's call to expand their nuclear weapons program. This follows a series of weapon tests they had last year that kind of underscored how North Korea is continuing to expand its military capabilities. And South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said North Korea fired what likely was a ballistic missile. Said the weapon flew over 400 miles at maximum speed of around Mach 10 before landing in what's the matter?
No, that's fast.
Is that fast?
10 times the speed of sound.
Yeah. Yeah. And it landed off in the water off its eastern coast. And, of course, this shows just a more advanced capability that North Korea's launched just last week. So North Korea's media has described last week's launch as a successful test of a hypersonic missile type of weaponry it claimed to have first tested back in September. So Japan's defense ministry said that the suspected ballistic missile landed outside the country's exclusive economic zone, Dave.
Well, yeah, and Prime Minister Fumio Kishida said Japanese officials were checking on the safety of ships and aircraft around Japan. I guess as a result of the missile splashing down in that general vicinity, but apparently no disruptions or damage have been reported. Now, yesterday, the UN Security Council held closed door meetings on last week's launch, but took no action. That's certainly not surprising at this point. Ahead of the talks, the U.S. and five allies issued a statement urging North Korea to abandon its nuclear and ballistic missile programs. South Korea's president has been urging North Korea to return to talks with it and the U.S. South Korean President Moon Jae-in expressed concern that Pyongyang was revving up its testing activity ahead of the South's presidential elections in March. So that will be an interesting thing. I mean, they say, our experts are saying, that the North is still years away from acquiring a what they call a credible hypersonic system that I guess could actually fly to its desired location or targets, Melody.
Well, I don't know. I think it was, I don't know if this is normal or if it's been done in the past, but for the to issue pilots for a short period of time.
To ground them. Yeah. That's highly unusual.
Yeah. So.
And I'm not sure if that's been, it certainly has been done on a widespread basis since 9/11, 20 years ago.
Well, the FAA says it was just a matter of precaution, and full operations resumed in less than 15 minutes, but going at Mach 10, I guess, it would have been a quick event. Mm. But my question is, were they expecting something else? You know?
Maybe that's what they were waiting to see.
Yeah.
Was there more than one, and where was it headed?
And so that means, do they have chatter thinking that that was a possibility? So that's, you know. Anyway, well, I guess we'll find out soon, you know, in the future, but unfortunately. But
well, it's what some people have feared for many years, that particularly as more and more satellites are up in the sky, covering nearly every mile of the Earth, and you know, when a satellite picks up something like this, it, I'm sure, you know, it goes right to NORAD and the other U.S. Missile control centers, and it's one thing that some have feared could lead to an accidental retaliatory launch someday. Let's hope that saner and patient minds continue to persist.
You know, we should have talked about this when we were talking a little bit about Russia being around Ukraine and how much this has an impact, and why we've seen gasoline or oil prices rise so much today. The how the European natural gas prices, they continue to go crazy as the market has become a theater. And again, this growing conflict with Russia and the West. Russia is increasingly seen as treating its energy assets as political tools rather than mere sources of revenue. But that's what, I think that's what every, isn't that what every country does that has oil as a, or an energy? I mean, it all is political, but the geopolitical game of chess is kind of squeezing the balance sheets of Europe's energy companies and ordinary customers. Putin uses what looks like market activity for geopolitical purposes. Well, this was from Anna Mykolska, who is a fellow at the Center for Energy Studies at Rice University. European gas demand rebounded last year in the economic snapback from the pandemic and expectations for a cold winter. I also would think that their demand also rebounded, of course, since they can get oil from Russia now, or that gas. Aren't they getting that gas from Russia?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Some other factors, from less windy weather for windmills to a drought that hurt hydropower, also boosted demand for natural gas. Additional gas supplies expected from Russia, although that never materialized, and I guess it won't as long as the situation with Ukraine is still in flux. And so you have exploding prices. The panic, which had shown signs of abating in the fall, suddenly worsened. So, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, you got this fresh panic hit the market, and it sent prices to what are called absurd levels. At one point, just last month, European natural gas prices were up more than 850%.
Wow.
In 2021. So, yeah, some see this surge as an effort by Putin to punish Europe for delays in approving the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which we know the U.S. strenuously opposes. And now that there's been a recent transition in power in Germany, now that I'm not sure it's gonna change much. Germany certainly sees that pipeline as important to its economic future. But, you know, the gas pipeline is under the Baltic Sea. It built at great expense to supply Russian gas primarily to Germany. It's held up in court right now, European court, which sees the pipeline, well, we, in fact, see the pipeline as an effort to enhance Russian influence in Europe. And a new Russian-German alliance, even in this respect, is seen by some as, you know, an attempt to split the alliance. But some say it could be a mistake to see the current chaos in this market as a grand design by Putin. So who knows? In Russia's own gas stockpiles were low going into the winter, and that's making refilling them a priority rather than supplying Europe, according to these foreign policy analysts. It's possible that Putin just saw a sharp market reaction as a chance to assert his importance on the global stage.
Hmm.
You know, so yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
But what we do know, there's nearly 8,000 people in Kazakhstan that have been detained by police. And, of course, the president, but, you know, we all know what was stated. He says that there was a lot of misinformation about the number of people or why they were killed, that he had targeted peaceful demonstrators. He calls that disinformation. But there was quite a few that have been killed, and over 100, I believe, and 864, I believe, including children, 8,000 people.
Mm.
And, you know, the government announced a 180-day price cap on the vehicle fuel and a moratorium on utility rate increases, and that's what this was all about. So I don't know how long this will last, Dave.
Well, until they or somebody mines all of that that stuff underneath the earth that can help build batteries for new electric vehicles.
Yeah.
Kazakhstan could be the site of some interesting activity over the next decade.
But I hear the music, so we'll be heading into a break, and we'll be back for the third segment of the program. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio, Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. I don't know about you, but I'd be lost without love. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Melody's taking care of other client business. This segment, call her at 1-800-375-4188. Now, we've reported over the last few years that e-commerce sales surged to a record, well, nearly 16% of total U.S. retail receipts in mid-2020, the height of the pandemic's first wave. And while they've come slightly off that peak since then, as shoppers return to brick-and-mortar stores, they, at least the ones that are still open, they do remain elevated, according to Commerce Department data. Retailers have responded by accelerating their investments in warehouses to store the wares that get sold in their websites amid record spending by homebound consumers, some of whom had more to spend over the last year because of stimulus checks. Such is the new demand for logistics centers that prices for industrial space outgained offices and apartments for almost all of 2021. Pandemic-era warehouse purchases by the five biggest retailers in the S&P 500 index are three times the number in the corresponding prior period before the pandemic. Online behemoth Amazon has snapped up the lion's share of the 21 facilities compared with four before. That's according to data, anyway, compiled by Reonomy. It's a New York-based analytics company that specializes in commercial property data. Walmart is the next biggest buyer with 11 facilities from the start of the pandemic through November last year, compared with four in the prior period. Now, with machine learning algorithms, Reonomy scours property data from the U.S.'s more than 3,000 counties and from partners like mortgage aggregator Black Knight to provide this information on on commercial facilities. Now, as more of the retail landscape is shifting from physical to online sales, industrial occupancy rates are at an all-time high. So there's no doubt that the demand for industrial space is at an all-time high. More on that as we see how things continue to evolve here onto this new normal we've been hearing about. Now, internet service for athletes at the Winter Olympics, which begins in just a couple of weeks, February 3rd, I believe, in Beijing, will be fraught with risk and even surveillance. Despite China's promise of free access to social media and other websites, China's plan for temporarily opening its Great Firewall appears aimed at boosting its global reputation ahead of the games. as opposed to championing an open internet. Experts expect heavy trafficking of online activity there, even for visitors who are allowed to access sites that are otherwise blocked. Chinese authorities say that Olympic participants and foreign media will have uncensored internet access through special SIM cards. SIM cards, a little square chip for your phones, your mobile phones. But the U.S. Olympic Committee is warning athletes and officials it should be assumed that all data and communications in China can be monitored, compromised, or even blocked. And Chinese athletes post at their peril. Authorities, in fact, have arrested dozens of Chinese citizens for content they posted on foreign social media. Victor Cha, who works for the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says that even though they allow access to social media, I don't think any athlete is going to tweet out something about Hong Kong or Taiwan. They will work with the IOC to clamp down on any athletes that do say anything. Thus, security experts are recommending that athletes and visitors alike use a different phone from their usual one, with SIM cards provided by someone other than China. Interesting. Interesting indeed. Well, Graham Summers at Phoenix Capital is warning that the paper markets are about to lose their training wheels. And by the looks of things, he said, it won't be pretty. As we know, on March 23rd, 2020, during the depths of the market crash triggered by the pandemic induced shutdowns, the Fed moved to, well, to backstop, to prop up everything. That's when the Fed held an emergency meeting during which it announced that it would be expanding its $700 billion QE program to an unlimited degree as needed, meaning it would print as much money as it thought it had to. It also announced it'd be using this unlimited QE to fund various credit facilities programs that would buy mortgage-backed securities, treasuries, corporate debt, municipal debt, certificates of deposit, student loan debt, and auto loan debt. Virtually everything, right? I mean, since that time, stocks have ripped higher in a near straight line. Nearly 2 years later, the Fed's decided it's time to end those interventions, and within a few months, its current QE program will be replaced by a QT program, quantitative tightening, and the Fed says it intends to start raising rates soon after that. So, big question that this fella asks, Graham Summers, is what will paper markets look like once the Fed stops its nearly weekly interventions? Well, Summers says high yield credit markets are already offering a preview. The Fed stopped intervening in this market a few weeks ago, actually several. But since then, the market has been in the midst of a major correction with a quick and steep reversal, almost 10%. Just a few months. The bottom line, the signs are clear. Another bloodbath is just around the corner. Prepare by having a good chunk of your savings, ladies and gentlemen, in gold and silver. Great insurance policy. It's called Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Again, 1-800-375-4188. Now, our latest American Survival newsletters hit the streets again. You can sign up for our free weekly newsletters and blogs at dgscoins.com. This week's newsletter features a comprehensive look at monetary policy in 2022 from Doug Nolan at the Credit Bubble Bulletin blog, and some food for thought on antioxidant foods from Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. I have an article in there, too, called The Tortoise Versus the Hare. It's about the Fed playing catch-up thanks to the ever-changing economy and pandemic, which we sort of alluded to earlier in today's program. Now, the Fed right now, I think, is in the role of the proverbial tortoise, and then, well, I hate to use this word, but in an existential race versus hair-raising inflation, H-A-R-E, and unemployment. It's a no-brainer. The only question is, will the world's largest and most advanced central bank recover to overtake events of great consequence? Or will those economic trials and tribulations force a reckoning? Namely, is the Federal Reserve still relevant? Just a few weeks ago, the Fed suddenly pivoted toward a more hawkish monetary policy stance after years of chilling like a flock of doves. And by the end of the week, multiple data points coupled with policymakers posturing after December's FOMC meeting pointing toward an even faster tapering of unprecedented stimulus. In particular, there was clueless Jay Powell, not to be confused with shoeless Joe Jackson, who said, moving forward, the end of our taper by a few months is really an appropriate thing to do. An appropriate thing to do. We don't have a strong labor force participation recovery yet, and we may not have it for some time. At the same time, we have to make policy now, and inflation is well above the target. So this is something we need to take into account. Well, as Kate Marino at Axios writes, cheap money has become the apple pie of the economy since the days of the Great Recession, i.e. it's been baked in. From 2014 to 2018, when the data-driven diva herself, Janet Yellen, became Fed chair, the effective Fed funds rate ranged from 0.07% when she took to the stage to 1.42% when her concert was over, more than double. At the same time, the Fed's balance sheet ranged from 4.1 to 4.4 trillion dollars, an increase of $319 billion, or about 8%. Now, over the subsequent four-year reign of Lord Powell, rates have ranged from 1.42% when he assumed the throne to a high of 2.45% in May 2019, and back down again to 0.07% at the end of last year. And, of course, the balance sheet has gone on an unprecedented binge during his time at the helm, nearly doubling from 4.4 to $8.8 trillion, an increase of $4.3 trillion, or 98%. When the Fed's momentous decision to take all the QE away after a decade of businesses and consumers alike feeding at its gratuitous trough, well, even more volatile swings in markets will result, spilling even greater uncertainty over into the economy. Yes, Friday's lower than expected jobs data in many ways exhibit A. Early headlines focused on soft growth and payroll numbers. And it's 199,000 new jobs versus 422,000 that were expected. The Labor Department's latest monthly report points to a quirky labor market that's unusually tight. That's exacerbating already high inflation. Again, last reported to be 6.8%. And now the headline unemployment rate is down to 3.9, to joke, when in the last economic cycle, that level wasn't hit until May 2018, when the Yellen and Powell-led Fed had already raised interest rates six times. I mean, never mind that the more accurate jobless rate, as measured by the government's U6 rate, which includes discouraged workers and Americans who can't find full-time jobs, is 7.3%. That figure's still down from 11.7% a year ago and from its pandemic high of 23% last April, actually April 2020. Perhaps more importantly, it's closing in on its pre-pandemic figure of 7% in February 2020. But now, wages are going up at a much faster pace than expected. Average hourly earnings rose 4.7% over all of 2021, but at a 6.2% annual rate in the fourth quarter. Simple way to look at the monthly jobs number is look at whether employers added a lot of positions to their payrolls, which is good, or not, which is bad. Reno says which numbers matter most depends on the economic moment. For example, job growth numbers tend to be useful for detecting when the economy is falling into recession. Oh, my. You know, there are just so many unique challenges for Powell and other Fed leaders. Inclusivity is certainly one of them. But with the labor market having gotten tighter a lot faster than the Fed and other analysts thought possible just a few months ago, question is, will monetary policy changes follow suit? And more importantly, when? I mean, if news last week added fuel to the market's expectations for a March hike, which I don't think is going to happen, this new week, some say, may all but confirm it. I doubt it. Sir Jay heads to a Senate, headed to the Senate today for this highly anticipated confirmation hearing. Wasn't a policy hearing per se, but many are looking, were looking for senators on both sides of the aisle to grill him about the Fed's changing views on inflation and employment. And he did, to some extent, address that. Now, Economist Media set median expectations for headline CPI growth, which comes out tomorrow, 7.1% from the year. And producer or wholesale prices, which will also give us a glimpse into the potential for future price hikes that'll be passed on to consumers, will be out Thursday. And the last PPI reading for November was the highest ever recorded since the PPI was published or has been published in 2010, 9.6%. And it was an astounding 26% for processed goods for immediate demand, the biggest increase since 1974. Fed Open Market Committee next meets January 25 and 26, ladies and gentlemen. All eyes and ears will be tuned in to Powell's press conference right after that meeting is adjourned. Then we'll have a better idea whether the tortoise stands or rests in peace in this ongoing race with this harebrained economy. Well, that's all the time we have for today's program. I'll be back Thursday. Butch will join Melody tomorrow along with Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. I'm Dave Allen. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Todd, and to you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in to Financial Survival. Please be safe and stay warm out there. Bye-bye.